Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Dragons, Gazelles, and Unicorns. I'm Rosemarie Truman, the founder and CEO of the Center for Advancing Innovation, and I'm absolutely thrilled to have a fantastic speaker on the show today, Richard Lofgren, who is one of the most significant serial entrepreneurs that I think I've ever met. He has so many things going on that it's incredible to hear his stories about the new things that he's starting. And he is an advisor to Kevin Harrington. And I'm just going to send it over to you, Richard, to give us a little bit of an overview of your illustrious and amazing background.
Oh, thank you, Ruby. That's kind of you. Well, it's great to be here on your show. As mentioned earlier, you were going through a big blizzard here, and it's nice to see sunshine in your background. Give you something to look forward to. Thanks for the kind introduction. I'm flattered. My name is Richard Lofgren. I'm an advisor to Kevin Harrington, the original shark from Shark Tank. I own my own consulting company called Optimum Consulting Services here in Buffalo. And what I do basically is I work with just about any type of entrepreneur in any industry, whether it's real estate, construction, robotics, artificial intelligence, augmented reality, smart city projects. I'm a one-man band, and I get approached every day by people that got projects, and I'm well connected. So it's just easy for me to connect the dots, and if you follow me on LinkedIn, my quote is, if you're not LinkedIn, you're linked out, right? one of the really neat things I do as an advisor to Kevin is I pretty much like a casting director. I'll vet opportunities that come my way by way of introductions on LinkedIn or a phone call from an inventor or an entrepreneur that has an idea for a project, looking for funding, looking to get his project, his product, across the finish line. So it's pretty neat to be able to, see these opportunities come across my desk, and I vet them out. And when I see something that's, vetted out enough that I can get it over to Kevin, I get it to him, and then he does his thing, right? So it's a pretty cool project or opportunities I get, and it's just exciting to be able to help an inventor get a product across the plate.
One of my favorite quotes that you have is, "You can reach me 24/7." Anytime. You can reach Richard 24/7. He's very accessible.
you can.
I know.
I only work and close deals on days ending in Y, right? So I got to hold to the 24/7 rule.
Yes.
It's crazy because I talk to people all over the world. So, people will inadvertently call me and it's like 3:30 in the morning and they'll forget, oh, I'm in Dubai and you're in Buffalo, right? But, hey, look, as long as I get my 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night, I'm fine. Right. So, it's great to be able to help people no matter what time it is.
So what do you think is one of your biggest successes? Give us a story about one of those.
Well, I'd have to say, as an engineer, I thought that, I was going to spend my whole life being an engineer and retire, after 40, 50 years. I think that my greatest accomplishment is just being able to network and being able to surround myself around successful people, so that one day I might be successful, right? I'd have to say networking is my biggest strength, and it's something that I'm most proud of.
And what would you say your biggest failure has been?
Networking as well. Sometimes you get into the wrong deals, they turn upside down. I guess my biggest failure is not being able to sometimes provide for my family. Right? When I first got on my own, I had a great living as an engineer working for some big companies like Bechtel, the company that built the Hoover Dam, $20 billion a year. So when I left that, to start my own company, I did get projects that came in, trickled in, but it wasn't anywhere near where I was making when I was an engineer. So in that regard, I kind of put the blame on myself as being a failure, but that kept me going, didn't let affect me in any way, right? It just made me more of a driven person. Mm-hmm. But now things are going great, working with Kevin, and we got some really, really neat projects that you'll see in 2020 that
you'll see on TV,
and we're really excited. So it's just perseverance, just staying in the fight. When things get tough, just remember, other people have a lot worse than you, right?
Yeah. I mean, would you change any of that?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't change anything. Hindsight's always 20/20. I wish I could have known things you know, back then that I know now, I would approach things differently, you know. But no, I don't have any regrets, you know. Everything just it has a purpose. And I know that with my hard work and my family behind me and, you know, the good Lord looking down on you.
Yeah.
I don't think I can fail. Just a matter of, you know, how long it's going to take you to get where you want to go, right? And everybody wants to get there quick. But my road has been, it's been like this, you know. It's been it's been a long journey to this point.
Yeah, actually, I think the angels are all around us. Yesterday when I was getting on the train in New York, there was a lady who I was looking around and, you know, I've been on that Amtrak train a million times. Mm-hmm. And she was going in front of me and she said, well, the train is this way. I can see that you're looking for the train. I'm thinking, I know where the train is. But this was very unusual in that the train was 10 minutes early. Have you ever been in Penn Station when the train was early? I've never done it.
No, I did that for 2 years and that never happened.
Never happened. And she wanted some money. She said, if I have some money, then I can buy a chicken for my son. And we gave her some money, my colleague and I, and we kept going. And she was the angel that day because the train was 10 minutes early. I would have missed the train. So I'm with you on that. Just like little things in life sometimes help you get by. How did you meet Kevin?
Oh, well, it was funny. My wife's favorite show on TV is Shark Tank, right? And after seeing folks come on the TV and whatnot, watching for so many years, I think probably like 3 or 4 years she's been watching, she says, you know, how come you've never been able to get on Shark Tank? You've got some great ideas and you had some inventions and stuff. Nothing that I ever patented, you know? And I said, well, all right, let me approach him. So I said, how do I hook a shark, right? So I knew exactly what he was looking for as far as marketing and projects and things of that nature. So I brought him two opportunities. I said, I got these two opportunities where I think that they want to use your marketing services, your ability to put things on a global scale. And I think they'll pay you a lot of money per month. And those two opportunities were ICOs. They were, you know, cryptocurrency projects.
Wow.
Involving sports.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made the connection with this gentleman and the company's name was Sportico and Fan360. And I said, hey, look, if I can connect you to Kevin Harrington, can I become your advisor? He said, hey, look, you can connect us with Kevin Harrington. You know, write your own ticket. So basically what I did is I made this connection and then I contacted Kevin, you know, by LinkedIn. And I knew that I wasn't going to speak to him. There's probably somebody, you know, operating his mailbox. And it was his son, Brian.
Uh-huh.
And I said, hey, listen, Brian, my name's Richard, and I've got these two opportunities. I got two companies that want to use Kevin Haring Enterprises. Would you talk to me? Sure. So I made the connection. I set the calls up between the companies and Kevin and with Kevin's business associate and partner. And they signed the deal. If you go to Kevin Harrington's profile on LinkedIn, you'll see two opportunities on there, Sportico and Fan360, and that was from me.
Wow.
And, you know, I never held my hand out and said, hey, look, can I get a cut of that? You know, can I get a percentage of that? What I wanted to do was just give him something first and make him some money, and hopefully one day I become an advisor. So one day I asked him. I called him up, and I said, hey, Kevin, how you doing? He said, Richie, how you doing? I'm doing great. He said, I'm doing fine too. Thank you. I said, hey, Kevin, I got a favor for you. He said, sure. What do you want, Rich? I said, hey, you know all these good things I'm doing for you and everything? He said, yeah. I said, hey, can I become your advisor? And I was ready for the no, right?
Yeah.
And he said, sure.
Oh, like, fantastic.
Oh, wow. I said, this is awesome. I said, so when can I start? He said, yesterday.
Wonderful.
I said, oh, fantastic. I said, hey, would you mind if I put that on my LinkedIn profile and I'm an advisor to Kevin Harrington, the original shark and the inventor of the infomercial? And I was ready for the no. And he said, sure. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Did you have a list?
Holy gee, Nate. I said, this is working out pretty good. And my father always says, hey, look, if you don't ask for something,
you don't get it.
Right? Yeah. So I said, hey, Kevin. He said, rut, Richie. And I think he was eating like a bag of Cheetos or something. Because Kevin's always eating and working at the same time. And I think he's over the sink like me, right?
I think we all do that.
I said, hey, Kevin. Yeah, sure. I got one more favor to ask. I said, can you create a video for me that says, hey, I'm your advisor and I do all these good things and I close these deals and, you know, I'm into this, that, and the other thing. And he said, sure, when do you need it? And I said, yesterday. So he went and he created this video for me, and I attach it to my LinkedIn post, whoever connects with me, and that gives them a flavor on who I am and what I do. And it's been basically a hidden treasure chest for me, because people see that and they tie myself to Kevin and they contact me. And of course I've got my number out there. Right. Yeah. And I don't say 24/7, but you know,
yes.
but for you, private emails.
Oh, you're a sweetheart.
Yeah. So, you know, it just really, the good thing about marketing. And like I said, if you're not LinkedIn, you're linked out, right? Think about it. You make a connection and look at what can happen, right? You're good to people. You do some good things. You do something, don't ever hold your hand out. Of course, my wife, my daughter would be the first ones to tell you. They'll yell at me, why, Dad? How are you doing all this stuff? How come you didn't get a contract? How come you didn't get a commission? And I said, well, there's a purpose.
Yeah.
There's a purpose. And look what it did for me. So when people go to, you know, the internet and they Google Kevin Harrington, they find me. And like yesterday, we had two deals came through, and one is looking really, really good. It's a device used to hide a plunger in a bathroom.
I love it. I need some of those.
It turns out that Kevin Harrington's business partner, Steve Mandel, and, you know, he's good friends with Mike Ditka, who's promoting the product. So coincidence, right?
Wow.
And, you know, and one of my favorite quotes is by Albert Einstein. It's, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. So coincidence happens every day in my life, right? So, yeah, that's how I became Kevin Harrington's advisor, because, you know, I did something that nobody do a deal without getting paid, and it worked out really great for me. And it's been a blessing to work with Kevin and Steve, his business partner, and Brian, and it's you know, you learn a lot about what they do in their business, and it's just really cool every day to do what I do.
Well, I have to tell you, I feel pretty blessed to have met you, because I'm very, very grateful. I just want to tell you that again, that I'm grateful for you connecting me also to Steve Vandell and Kevin Harrington. And they're going to do a shark panel at the investor forum for the Scale Challenge in Northwest Arkansas on April 3rd. So I'm super excited about that. And,
so we made the connection.
You made the connection. Thank you very much. See, there's,
that's great. You know, I'm more enthralled to be introduced to you, and your resume.
Oh, thank you.
I wish I could take your resume and put my.
You can do that. Sure. I'm going to take a line from Kevin Harrington and say, sure.
You're doing a lot of great things.
Thank you.
I'm excited to really know you and be part of what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, I'll just let you know. I mean, I'll just give you a little brief of what we're going to be doing this year. I'm very, very excited about it. We're going to be launching 20 new companies for children's health. It's an area that's highly neglected because, you know, the large companies, they normally develop drugs and devices and diagnostics for adults. And then those are usually used on children off target, off script and off label, I should say. I mean, that's the way it's normally described. And that causes a lot of deaths because, you know, that's not optimized for children. So, but anyway, thank you. I'm really very, very excited about this new initiative coming up and continuing also on the Scale Challenge for supply chain.
Oh, I tell you what, the Scale Challenge is remarkable. And, you know, one of the companies that I advise for, or one of my clients, is Robidub. And it's a drone technology that I mentioned to you before. It's the only drone in the world capable of multiple deliveries. And the drone will not crash in the event of a rotor failure. So let's picture a four rotor drone, you know, coming to your home to deliver a Walmart package, right?
Yes.
And the vehicle gets hit by a bird strike and takes out a rotor, right? Typically, every drone out there would fall right to the ground. You lose the vehicle, the package, right? And God forbid you hit, you know, Bobby and Susie out in the middle of the road playing, you know, hopscotch, right?
Right.
Losing an eye and everything, right? This drone right here, within milliseconds, it morphs into a configuration. It'll move the rotors on the frame of the drone into a pattern to keep the vehicle in the air. And what's great is, in harsh conditions, it can make multiple deliveries. So when you do finally see drones come into your home, they'll be one and done, right? So they'll have to come make a drop,
Right.
And then they'll go have to go find their vehicle and get recharged, right?
Uh-huh.
Our drone is the only drone in the world capable of making multiple deliveries. We're really excited about it. We've got 9 contracts with the military right now. We're waiting on a $2 million contract any day now from the Army. And we're talking with all the universities around to develop pilot programs to one day use our drones to deliver life-saving organs and medical devices.
Let us know if there's any way we can help. We have, you know, partnership agreements with 120 universities.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I'm good.
Yes. I want to help you. That's amazing. Is the drone self-powered?
Yes.
Is it piezoelectric or is it solar? Or how is it powered?
It's self-powered. It's on a battery.
Okay,
but we're working with other companies right now. There'll be hydrogen infused batteries one day. Where that vehicle can keep up in the air longer than half hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's tethered, we can fly it all day long, right? Off the back of a Humvee, like the Army programs we have, right? But some of these technologies out there is incredible. Actually, matter of fact, there was one gentleman about 2 weeks ago or so, about a month ago in Virginia, set the world record for the longest drone in flight. I think he did it for 24 hours, and it was a hydrogen type battery. Hydrogen fuel cell battery. Yeah, so battery technology is definitely going to be advancing in the upcoming years and stuff. So our drone is one of the best ones out there. It's the safest, only one capable of multiple deliveries. So I'm really excited about RoboDove. And what happened was, I got them entered into a competition here called 43 North.
Uh huh. Yes.
So it's a startup competition put on by the state of New York. So it attracts businesses here to Buffalo. So I made the connection between RoboDove and Moog, which is a big $2 billion company here, right in East Aurora, New York. Every component every car and every plane you fly in has a component designed by Moog. This stuff went into the space shuttle, the Saturn V rocket that put astronauts on the moon. So I made a relationship with RoboDove and Moog. And then what happened was I got the company to enter this competition, and they were entered along with 560 other competitors across the country. So they got whittled down to 10, 15 companies, and we did a live pitch back in October. And Parminder Desi, our CEO, was able to win $500,000.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
And as a result now, he just relocated from Seattle to Buffalo, because winning this competition, you have to come to Buffalo and live out the dream and eat chicken wings for the next month. So he's here now, relocated here to Buffalo with 43 North. And so it's great to be able to make that connection, make some good relationship between Moog and my former company, Bechtel, because Bechtel's looking to use our drones one day for inspection services, for cell towers and construction projects and surveillance. So I made that big, massive connection too. So everything's starting to fall together, right?
Yeah.
So that's why, if you're not linked in, you're linked out, right?
Yeah. It's all about connections. Well, I do have a crazy question. I'm in the market for a car. Should I just wait for this drone?
well, one day in Parminder's live pitch, and you can see it, you can go to 43north.org, and you can see the winning pitch that he had. He talks about, when he opens up on the pitch, he talks about how Airbus will one day take people on drones, right? So it'd be like a vehicle, but with rotors.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day you maybe save up for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm lighter than a normal package, most of the packages that Walmart sends out.
Yeah.
And 43 North, we were very fortunate to have one of our companies win there, Onco Links, Rob Sinha.
Yep.
It's really difficult to win there. So.
Oh, it's extremely. But listen, you got 550, real quick story. I told Parminder, I said, listen, no, I'm not Nostradamus, but I'm a distant cousin. I said, apply to this 43 North and you win. So when the competition entries was due, I said, did you apply? And he said, no, Rich, 500 plus company. There's no way we're going to get selected. I said, Parminder, apply and you'll win.
Oh my gosh.
He didn't listen to me, right? So the following year comes around, right? And I said, hey, Parminder, 43 North, you're going to apply. He said, Rich, like I said last year, man, I don't think I'm going to win. I said, Parminder.
Just do it.
Apply.
Sorry.
So you know it, I forget all about it, right? And it's always big news here in Buffalo, right? So I called him out of the blue just to check on some things and some connections I made. And He said, I'm here in Buffalo. And I said, well, welcome to Buffalo. I said, how come you didn't tell me? He said, oh, I'm here. They got us into the top, I think it was the top 50.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I said, Palmer, keep in there, man, because you know what's going to happen. You're going to win. So then he went back to Seattle and then got shortlisted down to the final, like, 10, 12 competitors. So I was able to go to the live pitch event with him and everything and see him, you know, pitch on stage. And it was so exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And he ended up winning. It was great to be able to share the stage with him and kick some balloons around and shake hands with all the other winners. But, yeah, no, this is a very, very difficult competition to win. You're going up against some of the best startups in the country.
Yeah.
And, yeah, when you do win here, it's such a great recognition. A company called ACV Auctions back in 2015 were the $1 million winner of 43 North. They've been evaluated at $1.5 billion now.
Wow. Are they still in Buffalo?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, they stayed. Yeah, they stayed. So all those people there, you know, who won that event, look where they're at right now. They're part of a $1.5 billion company.
That's amazing.
So it's big here. You know, and your competition too, you know, that's a great competition. And you win that, boy, you really can open up a lot of doors. And your company will take off.
That's amazing. Well, you know, I just want to go back to that, what you were talking about when you first became an entrepreneur. You know, when I became an entrepreneur, I came out of IBM. Yeah. I could be making like three times more money, much more money. And, you know, it's very difficult. It's really challenging and you kind of have to persevere. You know, basically, you know, through connections, through whatever you can do, keep going. And, you know, I ran IBM's innovation strategy practice globally. So I had like the IBM name and I had the IBM resources, and then you become an entrepreneur and you're, even though you are here, you're not anything when you first become an entrepreneur.
Right.
How did you keep going? You know, you said you were persistent, you're tenacious. Uh-huh. I mean, you're obviously tenacious, but what was the thing that helped you keep going?
It's just the way I've always been. You know, I put braces on my teeth when I was 12 years old, had a paper route, right? And it was either you're going to walk around and look like this, or you're going to have, you know, good looking teeth. So I chose to get a paper out because my family couldn't afford to, you know, my father had five kids and he was a letter carrier. So it was difficult. So I always had to do things on my own. And then when I started running competitively, you know, I did 7 Boston marathons, and every time I ran them, I just had to finish. Everything I do, I have to finish. I think I got that disease where you just gotta, you know, the Ben Affleck show there, movie he did, you know, I just gotta finish. Right.
Yeah.
You know, the entrepreneur in me, it's always been there, right? And I know that if I can just get along, make enough contracts or make enough relationships where I can just feed the family and get by, I know the big deals are coming, and they have, and they're starting to come, right? So it's just hanging in there. I still drive a 2004 Land Cruiser. It's got 327,000 miles.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
You know, it's time for me to go buy a new car. My wife's saying, you know, that thing's going to shake apart and drive. But you know, my thing is, I really wanted to get it to 500,000. Being an entrepreneur is great because you can set your own hours, you can work to, you know, however you want to do. You can be autonomous, you can do this and that. You know, and I've been a part of some big deals. You know, it's taken, you know, like Robodon, it's taken 26 months of my time to be
wow.
Where and now that we, you know, we're getting a lot of traction, and Palmer is doing a great job of winning work, you know, and I'm trying to get him more, you know, big things are happening, right? And we got multiple other things that we're working on too. Mm-hmm. So it's just never give up, you know. You know, my tell my wife all the time, I said, listen, you know, I can go back to engineering and stuff like that, and I can work the next 20 years. But, you know, these deals that I'm working on as an entrepreneur, right? One deal come across right now, you'll never have to work again. Right? So it's just all kind of things that keep you driving. Driven to what you want to do, you know, to succeed.
It's exciting, isn't it? When you finally crack it.
Oh yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things that I'm working on right now, I told you about, is the global pull-up challenge, right?
Yes.
And I'm really excited about that. I started the global pull-up challenge, and it's basically like ice bucket challenge, right? Where you go to the gym and you nominate 3 people to go and do pull-ups, right? Do any type of pull-up, any style. Even if you can't even do one, just try to do it, right? And we created what's called the Global Nopioids Foundation to fight the
right.
War on opioids. And I created that with Marco Derry, my friend in Hollywood. He put together the Jackson 5 family reunion tour. He does all the post and pre-parties of the Oscars. Really close friend of mine. And along with Alan Kay. Alan Kay is a gentleman that came up with the saying, if you see something, say something, which according to the FBI has saved over 10,000 lives. You can find that on my LinkedIn profile, by the way. I'm partnered with Alan in a bunch of projects. He's won 27 Clio Awards, which is like the equivalent of an Oscar at the Emmys, right? And he put Richard Branson on the map. He put Steve Wynn on the map.
Wow.
And all over it. Richard Branson came to my partner, Alan Kay, one day and says, hey, Alan, yes, I love those commercials you did with Xerox. I need help. What should I do? And Alan said simply, Richard, sell Virgin Atlantic Records, dump it into your Virgin Atlantic airline, and boom. I'll do some commercials for you, and I'll make you big someday. And he did. So it's great to work with Alan. He's just a great guy, you know. So he come up with the logo for the Global Pull-Up Challenge, and he came up with the idea of nopioids, right? Just simply put an N in front of opioids, nopioids, like say no to drugs. So what we're trying to do, we're struggling right now because we're trying to develop the site and get it to the point where we can, you know, find sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really targeting Mark Wahlberg. So if Mark Wahlberg's out there, listen, you can't beat me at pull-ups. Matter of fact, not many people can. I'd love to tackle you. I'd love to get you in the gym and help us kick off the Global Pull-Up Challenge. Because we really do think this could go viral and save a lot of lives.
Yeah, yeah, you know? I know.
And so we're having fun with it. We're going to be doing some big things with another company called Underground Elite. It's a good friend of mine, James Donnellan. He's got a apparel company. And it's going to be like Under Armour. But I think his products are a little more sexier than Under Armour.
Oh, wonderful.
Really cool designs and stuff and cool logos. And he's got a lot of celebrities behind him, too. So we're trying to unearth these celebrities to get involved with our pull-up challenge. So James is helping us. But, yeah, we got a lot of great, exciting things. We got a lot of balls in the air. And hopefully we'll, you know, change, impact, and save a lot of lives.
Well, we will take this podcast and spread it to all the people we think can support and help and drive it forward and provide sponsorships. We'll get it out everywhere we can.
No, I really appreciate it, you know, and, hey, you know, pull up, you know, a lot of people ask me, why don't you just do like something like the ice bucket challenge where you dump a bucket of ice over your head, right? And I said, think about a challenge. What's a challenge? It's a challenge, right?
Yes.
I wanted to make it difficult, right? And I grew up, my father was a Marine and the whole family was Marines. And that's one of the things that we learned when we were born is I got to do a pull up, right?
Oh my gosh.
You know, real quickly, my grandfather, you know, ALS, right? My grandfather died at ALS in 1974 at the age of 59.
Sorry to hear that.
The week that he was diagnosed with ALS, he was in our backyard doing one-arm pull-ups.
Oh my gosh.
With the left hand down beside, like that. Crazy. Did five of them, right?
Wow.
And then he died, 3 months after that.
That's amazing.
So I do know the impact of ALS and the Ice Bucket Challenge has done some great things, you know. And I was fortunate to even talk to Nancy Frades. She was the mother of the gentleman that started the Ice Bucket Challenge. I talked to her 2 weeks before her son died.
Mm.
And she gave me a lot of, pointers on how to do a challenge and whatnot and how to go about it, you know. But, yeah, all it takes is one person. Okay. Because we look at the Ice Bucket Challenge, when it got to Bill Gates, it just blew up. You know, Tom Brady went to a couple people and got, I think Tom Brady got, Bill Gates involved and then just went boom. And then they made, you know, $250 million in that first summer. So we're hoping to do some great things, by the way. Yeah. Hey, any way you can help promote it?
Yes, we will. We will.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. And I need to be able to do more than 3 pull-ups.
Okay, good.
I'll have to be in the challenge too.
It doesn't matter. Any amount, any style. Okay. Whether you do happy ones, you go halfway down. It doesn't matter. It's just to be able to, you know, promote health and promote the challenge and raise awareness to fight the war on opioids.
Well, it's a very big problem. It's a very, very big problem.
Oh, no doubt.
It starts actually with back pain. I mean, there's people just don't exercise properly. We're working on this new gym concept that has that removes the compression in the back mm-hmm. and the knees, because once that the compression happens there, the form becomes terrible every place yeah. else, right. and then you hurt yourself, and then you take opioids. So it's a vicious circle, unfortunately.
But, you know, the thing about it is anybody can get addicted to them.
Yeah, I know.
It's very easily to get addicted to them. Marco, like I mentioned, Derry, he's written a book called Heroes of the Opioid Crisis. He's got volume one, and he's going to plan on making, a dozen other books. And in those books, it'll showcase like celebrities, athletes who, got injured, right? Mm-hmm. And turned to opioids and got addicted. Right. Yeah. So there's some great stories that you'll be seeing coming out of these volumes of these heroes of the opioid crisis.
You can't help it if you're in pain. When I got my arm broken, I was so fortunate because they gave me all these painkillers. Kept asking me they asked me 8 times every time I went, don't I want some painkillers? And I didn't take any because I don't feel pain really. So, but that's obviously unusual. But I mean, the number of times people offer the painkillers because of the fact that people are not a pain.
Yep.
It's interesting. There were 6 kids in my family too, and I had a paper route when I was little. And also
probably passed each other.
We probably did.
You feel like customers?
Oh yes. Oh gosh. Now you know. I used to do whatever they want, go to the back door, slide it in all kinds of crazy things for the newspapers. And also the chairman of my board, Nick D'Onofrio. He also was a newspaper carrier. We should all three sit together. Yeah, he's 45 years with IBM, executive vice president at IBM, and mm-hmm. just a phenomenal guy. The three of us need to get together.
I used to have a Huffy 10 speed, right?
Yeah.
And this is a really quick story. And I had the 2 cages on the side, right? So when I delivered the Sunday papers, I'd be driving like this. And then I had my sack around my paper route sack around my neck too, right?
Yeah.
So, it was something to see me go down there. Yeah, it's 70 papers, right? Boom.
Oh my gosh.
I loved it when my father drove me, because he had the van and I had the door open, and I'd run, and he'd follow me around. And I could do the paper out, probably about a half an hour. If I did it by bike, it'd take me just over an hour and a half. So that's how I got to be good at running. Wow. And I remember one day, my father was a handy guy too, Marine, but he can. He was very good with his hands too, right? I said, hey, listen, how can I, I got this bike and I got all these 40, 50, 70 papers, right? And it's imbalanced. What can I do to, it hurts my back, He said, well, Dick, you got 500 pounds of paper on you, you gotta reduce the strain on your back. So what he did is he welded stirrups.
Wow.
Women go get a gynecological exam. He took stirrups and put them on my handlebars and tack welded them on. So when I was riding my bike, I'd be like this, right?
Ah.
Took the pressure off my back.
Right.
And years after that, you'd see all these ultra marathoners, right? Triathlons people, and they'd have their rest on the handlebars, right? Mm-hmm. And I told my father, I said, you remember when you did that? He goes, yep. That's our first invention, right? And so, we never did anything with it, but it came from my father. I was right on there like that. And I was like, wow, it was corny looking, but that bike, held up and it did the job, right?
Yes.
I didn't even know what those things were until I got older. I'm like, wow, this is too funny. But yeah, paper route is, it really defines you as a person, right? And my daughter, used to, sell lemonade out here in the street, and she used to, and then she gets tired of that. So then she started going around people's houses and cleaning their mailboxes, Windex and paper towels.
Uh-huh.
Coming back with 40 bucks. And I'm like, wow.
That's great.
What's that?
How old is she?
My daughter's 19 now, but she was 12 or so, she'd do all sorts of things for money.
Yeah, I did too. I used to go door to door and just say, do you need your bathtub scrubbed? Do you need what do you need done? Or I would recommend something like, this front door I could really help you with this front door. This front door has, you know, bird poop on it and everything else. And I am certain I can get it very clean and shiny as well. Yeah. And then I'd go home and I'd ask my mom how I'm going to pull it off, because my mom could had all kinds of, she knows how to paint anything. So yeah. I would get these little gigs. Yes. I was an early entrepreneur as well. I think we all were.
So it's fun to watch. You know, it was fun to watch her grow up, and she, you know, people come to Navy and say, "Wow, she's pretty, she's an entrepreneur." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Who comes up with the idea of cleaning mailboxes, right?"
Can you give us an inkling about what's going to be coming up in the future here for you? Can you give us a little bit of insight about any exciting new announcements or a little teaser?
Well, one of the things that Alan and I and Marco and James have been working on is we're going to be opening up an entertainment center. It's like a interactive entertainment complex. Hmm. And what we want to do at that location is one day do like live e-sport gaming events, drone racing. Right?
Oh, cool.
I got a drone, right?
Yes.
And we want to do like a live pitch of like entrepreneurs in college. So instead of calling it like Shark Tank, we're going to call it Goldfish Bowl.
I love it.
And we're going to be going to universities and colleges across the country one day, hoping to bring together, a number of entrepreneurs who have been added products or ideas that want to pitch to a panel. Or five multi-billionaires. Mm.